This is down to brass tacks. You can call us at 434-1790. The story on the front page here talks about, suggests here that refer the PISA talk strategy. It seems to me that the choice of Mr. Reefer, the cricketer, for the Democratic Labour Party as its candidate for St. George North is generating something of a buzz. I saw the comments which were made by Peter Wickham and Dr. Don Marshall endorsing to some extent the choice of this gentleman as a candidate, with Peter Wickham expressing the view, as far as he's concerned, it's a tall order for him to turn around that 80% of the votes that the Barbados Labour Party got. And Don Marshall saying that that while Ms. Moore has history on her side, she now has, according to him, an opponent in her weight class. Now, I don't know on what basis he has concluded that he is in her weight class, because to begin with, we haven't really heard anything from him yet. I would look forward to hearing what he has to say on the political platform in particular, because his is a voice that is not heard with the kind of regularity that we would have heard from Toni Moore. We've had time to get accustomed to her. When he says that he is in a weight class, he refers to work which has been done more or less behind the scenes. He says that he worked with young people and has had a high level of consistent performance in the area of cricket. And then he ties it to the name and the reputation of the reefers in St. George. So we are anxious to hear a bit more. We have to wait and see when the Democratic Labour Party will mount their election platform. We've had one meeting so far, as far as I can recall, from the Barbados Labour Party, and it is quite likely that this weekend we may be in for one or more meetings. And then you have these other members, the other candidates who are making themselves available. Looks to me as though the strategy for some of them will be based more on the use of social media than the traditional idea of going out there trying to speak to a crowd, the equivalent of what Donald Trump likes to do, to have a rally. The other variable in all of this is COVID and the degree to which a lot of people don't want to go out there because they're just concerned about, you know, being in possible in circumstances where you can be, you know, close to people and that sort of thing. Even though the protocols, the people talk about the protocols, but we wait to see what impact COVID is going to have on this particular by-election. Down to brass tacks, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, morning.
How are you?
I'm well.
Oh, it's nice to hear you again. Well, you were just talking on the subject I called about, which is the St. George North by-election.
Yes.
Because I am of the persuasion, let me say before I say that I was reading with great disappointment this morning the president of the Democratic Labour Party talking about the conditions of the party headquarters at George Street.
Mm-hmm.
How, I don't know if you saw the article, how the last administration left it in a dilapidated state with all the windows dropping off and water coming into the building and so on. Really a sad story. But the point I wanted to call and make about the St. George North by election is that I was trying to question the thinking of the Council of the Democratic Labour Party, because here you have In my opinion, Miss Verla de Pisa is the most popular person in that party right now. A seat is up for grabs in St. George North. Ms. de Pisa has just come off of a winning streak. She has just won again, the president of the party having defeated George Pilgrim. And I thought that it would have made good sense, marketing and everything, to take that winning streak as the political leader of the party up to St. George North and face off with Tony Moore. Because in my opinion, Ms. de Pisa is a more mature candidate than Ms. Moore, because she has been around elective politics for some time. But here you have it now that the party has chosen a newcomer at this stage of the game who has now to get his feet wet politically. And I figure that as a person who has national support, like Ms. de Pisa, that she would have been my pick for the candidate for St. George North. I don't know what you think.
Well, a lot depends upon what her agenda is. I hear people mentioning her name in connection with St. Lucie.
Yeah.
And she may think that she has a better chance there. I do believe, though, that given the situation right now, I would have thought that ideally, whoever runs for the Democratic Labour Party must run with a view of winning.
Yeah.
And if, in all the circumstances, the candidate that they have chosen were to win, then you then have the issue of what voice would that person be able to bring as the lone DLP voice in the House of Assembly.
Exactly.
So I would have thought that it would be more advantageous to them if they had gone. Well, let me say, like I would say, I think it would be more advantageous to them if they went with somebody who had a strong voice, an established voice.
Yes.
But, you know, that is sitting at it from this distance and waiting to hear how he sounds and what he says as a politician. I don't know him. He's an unknown quantity to me in that regard.
Yeah.
So I may get surprised, but from what little I have seen so far, I thought that they would have been in a stronger position.
I am seeing another issue arising. What if he had to win the seat? You know that he would be in a position like George Pilgrim did recently to challenge Ms. de Pisa, and this time successfully.
If he were to win the seat?
No,
I don't see that. I still think that I would still believe that he's, you know, it's not just a question of winning the seat, but it is, you know, your years in politics, the support that you have from a lot of the elders and that sort of thing. So I don't think it's as straightforward as that.
But if you have a leader who continues not to be able to win a seat, and you have a young man who has just captured the hearts of the residents of St. George North, then he is in a position at the general council session next year to be put forward as leader of the party.
I think that basically we have to wait and see. He has to win a seat first.
Yeah, he has to win a seat first.
Yeah. And that we can't speculate on those things from this distance.
Right. I think that the party council dropped the ball, because I would have sent Mr. Pease up there. If you are a leader, come out of political hiding.
I don't know that she has to go to St. George North because she's a political leader.
But why not? She just won a presidency.
But she can go to the seat that she believes she's stronger in. I don't understand why you are coming with this argument that she has to go to St. George North.
What you're making, but then...
I mean, when an election is called...
As the most popular... Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Mr. Pisa is as popular as Mr. Reefer?
I don't know. I would expect that she's more popular in the country. Hold on. That's what our you know, we got to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Let's accept that across the country, she is better known than Mr. Reefer is in politics.
Exactly.
All right. But that does not mean that she has to go into St. George North, because let's be realistic. Look and see what could happen here.
Yeah.
You have a huge turnaround to effect. The odds are against the Democratic Labour Party candidate.
Yeah.
How many times has she run already and lost?
You tell me.
So what you want to create is an environment where she goes into this. If she goes into this and she loses, then isn't she a three-time loser?
But then you have to ask another question. Whose voice would be better in the House of Assembly right now?
Well,
or this youngster that now come along?
Well, but they're not the only options available.
Yeah,
there are other people within the Democratic Labour Party too. But I don't know on what basis the people who made the decision felt that they would go with a political neophyte. They may very well feel that given all that has happened before, it is better to go with somebody new rather than go back with one of the familiar voices. And you know, the other part of that is in St. George North, you don't have a Dem who ran, you know, in a very, very strong way, who was well established within the party in the past.
But then you have Esther Byer in St. George South. Bring her across. She's well known.
But why you don't join the Democratic Labour Party and tell them what to do? You should perhaps join and help give them some guidance.
I just say having this little discussion with you, because I already know the political big horse up there can take that, you know. But I would have, on a serious point, mm-hmm. I would have, as the leader, step out and call the whole of my troop. The Democratic Labour Party has mass-based support in Barbados. And I believe that if Mr. Pisa would step forward, I would go up there and take the fight to Toni Moore.
Who, you?
Yes, because she's more experienced. She's a more experienced politician than Toni Moore. I mean, Toni Moore is a good speaker and everything, and she's well known like Mr. Pisa. But I think
that's one variable. But the other variable, as I said to you, is that Mr. Pisa may well have her sights on a seat. That is more
fair. But this is deceit, Mr. Ellis.
Please. She may very well have her sights on a seat that is far more favorable to the Democratic Labour Party. Like St. John, St. Lucy, someplace like mm-hmm. that. All right? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't make more sense to go for a seat, go and run in a seat that is more favorable rather than one that you got to turn around an 80% vote?
Well, we will see.
You want the woman to commit political suicide?
Well, then I would call for Esther Byer Sakhu from St. George South, who is well known in the area, who was won already, I think, on two occasions.
All right.
But I would not have brought a brand new person, but nice talking to you, Mr.
Pleasure. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hi, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to get in a rebut. They wanted to link up that fella there.
Oh, I'm sorry that you didn't tell me that early.
Mr. Ellis, mm-hmm. First thing, let me tell you, right? There's nowhere in sports or in any other competition that I know that you can pick your team and pick the opponent's team too. So let's settle that straight. Each side pick their own team. Now, the leader of the BLP, she is also sitting in the Senate, and the BLP overlook her and pick somebody else to run in this by-election coming up too. So I don't understand all of this machinations that they're coming with. They choose who they want, and we choose who we want. But I believe that who we choose got them cats parallel. I don't know that you will worry over an opposition. So I thought that they were so good. You bring in a new boy, we're going to clean up. But anyhow, today is a tight day for me. I will probably listen on, and I will hope to catch you on Monday, Mr. Ellis, because I still ain't get the number of deaths yet. You have a nice day.
What deaths? You mean the number of murders?
The total amount of murders for the year.
Oh, okay.
You wanted, I tell you, get it in by the last program, and you didn't do it. So I thought you would have started it this morning.
You know.
Let's see if you can get it before the program then.
I used to watch this commercial. It said that one half is you and the other half is the perfume. You know, part of this program is me. I am half of it. You're the next half.
But you know
that you know the things that I don't do, you are expected to do for me? And the public?
I know that, Mr. Ellis. And you know that I always tell you I just come to bring balance.
No, I want facts.
I also just get my information for me. So I got it. It ain't that I want it. You know,
well, share it, man. Share it.
No, you know, you always just tell me it's incredible. I'm not sharing anything, Mr. Ellis. If you want me to share anything,
you only come here to share it.
On the payroll. No, put me on the payroll if you want me
to do
anything. Share anything. On the payroll, yeah. You get rid of all your research officers and everybody. And now you're bareback. You're down to the last man standing.
Who's the last research officer we had here?
I don't know.
Well, Dennis, do you know anybody who was a research officer here in recent times? I don't know if we had research officers here.
Well, you might not got an officer. You know, I asked you if you had a resident political analyst. You tell me no, but one in there now.
A resident political analyst? All right.
Anyhow, Mr. Ellis, you have a nice day, and see if you can get
listen,
the
do be careful
before you left the program.
In all of your errands and stuff today, do exercise some caution, all right? Down to brass tacks, hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yes, please.
Mr. Ellis, mm-hmm. The last election, a lot of new members weren't voting in. They went on the platform and talked. Mr. Ellis.
For whom? Which side? For the BLP?
On the BLP side.
Yeah, well,
they
that
had a lot of new members meeting and were on the platform talking.
Yes.
So what is the difference now with Floyd Reefer? What, Floyd Reefer is not dancing? Floyd Reefer go there and handle himself.
I really don't know. I tell you so.
Wait, what is so special?
I don't know. The difference is
that told him over, edge him out. In what way?
I am not getting into this talk about who's going to edge out whom. I say basically what we live with are the stats that you've got before you, and that's the tall order. The only point I'm making in relation to selecting him as opposed to somebody else in the Dems is the fact that the Dems have no voice in Parliament at the moment. Mm-hmm. Therefore, whoever gets, if the person wins the seat, then you want to have as strong a voice as possible so that that person becomes effectively an opposition leader of sorts. And then the position of Bishop Joseph Atherley would also come into question. I mean, you know, one or the other, who commands the majority on that side, you know? But they would obviously have to have some kind of understanding. But we are not there yet. We may not even get there based upon how the outcome of the by-election, you know? But I'm only saying to you that, as far as I'm concerned, that is something that I see as one of the implications of that choice, but I can't dismiss the candidate because I haven't heard the candidate yet.
But you have to hear it, caller. I said, look, to tell you the truth, though, I said 20 months and she's letting me sleep, though. Let me tell you.
You're not easy at all, boy.
look, Floyd Reefer is the right choice for up there. I believe he will represent the people well.
Okay.
It ain't got nothing to do with whatever. He will up there and he will represent. She represents the people in the union, but how many people get through on it, Tony Moore? A lot of people claims it out there to be done to get fixed up. And a lot of people she ain't represent. A lot of my friends drop out the union too because of her union. Only certain people them is represent.
Well, that's
so
a serious.
Between
you know, that's
and Floyd River.
That's
and
a serious charge that I can't verify. That
no, a lot of your friends dropped out. Yes, that union because they ain't getting a good representation. And then they represent the most people that in the group, and they wanted to look at. And that is just a smart move to get her in this thing. We there were a male voice out there, and about giving her or who put in power. Look, she in power. A lot of people still hurting. So what way she getting? What else she can do? She in studies with the government. You think she ain't go? She ain't talk against the prime minister? She ain't studies with the government thing. And let me tell you, you can't hold two things at the same time. You can't do two master jobs. She won't hold that, and she won't do the other thing. I think that.
So you think she will be silenced by this move?
Yes, a lot of things she will be silenced.
Where you put it earlier? All right. Well, thanks very much. I'm just trying to see some late material here, the latest information on the situation with COVID in the United States and what's happening there. Pence, the vice president, tested negative for coronavirus. All of you who talking about fake news and which agencies give fake news and that sort of thing, well, I get this one from National Public Radio. So you could determine whether that's fake news too, right? Because you are very quick to say that CNN is fake news, buy into this thing coming from Trump. At the end of the day, a fact is either a fact or it's false. I mean, you got to come and tell me if you give information on the health of the president, then, you know, it is either true or false. There's another side to this. Those on the one hand who say that the information from fake news, from CNN is fake news. And then the people who say that anything you hear from President Trump is a lie. So where do you turn? Even if he says it, because up to this morning I heard people saying well, they can't trust his word on what he's saying about his health. They want to hear it from some independent source. So this is where America is today. This is down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the ear. Yes.
Hello, Miss Ellis?
Yes, you're early, 11:27.
I was listening to you, so I didn't want to use my voice until you was complete with what you were saying, dealing with Trump. Now, Mr. Ellis, may I ask a question? You had a long conversation with a gentleman saying what he did the third time I hear him with it. He, a member of the Bob Esley Party for years, and I know you know him. You might not know him by the voice, but I know you know the person. And there's a gentleman who's called the station. It's called the taxi man. Anytime he calls, let him tell you who the person is. Now, he know that Mr. Pisa should have taken Mr. Reefer's place instead of putting Mr. Reefer's there. Now, this is a campaign man in the Barbados Labour Party, a top man in the sense of the consistency, working day and night for the Barbados Labour Party. But he could get all the time in the world to tell the listeners of Barbados, who he believes should be the representative on the Democratic Labour Party ticket for St. George North. I leave that there where he is concerned. Now, I also heard this morning a large argument about Miss Moore only start campaigning last two weeks. In October last year, a friend of mine that she and the person that she was with might not know is a diehard then called me and said, having the campaign start. But I now was told that Miss Moore going to be the candidate for St. Michael North, Mr. Clark moving out.
George North. Evidence of that. Yeah, I can only got your word on that, man.
For me, and they could direct you to the house.
All right. Well,
in St. Charles North.
She may just have gone there to visit one person or so. One house cannot constitute campaigning. I interpret campaigning to mean that you're visiting several houses in a district, or you're congregating with people in rum shops and telling the people that you want them to vote for you. That's what I interpret campaigning to mean.
Okay, Mr. Ellis, I wouldn't agree with that, because what you're saying is true, and the way you put it over. But I'm telling you this. I am a visually impaired person. Not like before when I used to be all over Barbados, listening and going from one shop to one shop. And if I just know things, you want to tell me a man at the top of the Barbados number one news media think and radio station no more than me? And I'm telling you this. October last year, it was Miss Cummings. It was Miss Moore, M-O-E. It was Miss Moore, M-O-O-R-E. That was their campaigning.
All right, well.
Well, you want somebody to tell you? But let me go on to my real big thing here now. Now, I met Mr. Reefer. I'm not campaigning on the radio. I'm just...
I can determine that because I must tell you that I am mindful of the fact that we are in a season, and somebody got a little bit more latitude than they should have had just now.
You admitting that when certain people with certain voices, but then certain people, because that gentleman was on for 15 minutes.
It wasn't the gentleman.
Over Mr. Pisa, you know?
No. To argue over. Hold on. To argue over Mr. Pisa wasn't the concern that I had. The concern I have is people who are coming to openly and nakedly campaign for any candidate.
What he was doing?
Mr. Pisa is not a candidate.
His argument was that as party leader, Mr. Ellis, you're trying to be technical. Oh, but let me move off of him.
Was arguing on behalf of having Ms. DePisa as the candidate, which she is not.
That is why I asked you at the beginning, because be very careful when I speak, you know, if you know who you was talking to. Because if you knew who you was talking to, that was campaigning. Because I know him.
My judgment is that wasn't the campaigning that I'm concerned about.
He campaigned in St. George North, her being campaigning, when he come in here to give the impression.
He might have campaigned in St. George North, but he, as far as I'm concerned, what he was discussing here was not campaigning.
I hope what I'm saying in campaigning too.
Well, if you go there in that, one of you has already had a little bit more latitude than you should have on this score.
Maybe? No,
one of the other callers there, and I don't want to perpetuate
what I'm
that.
What I'm saying is, Mr. Nelson, listen to this carefully.
Not Nelson, wrong place. Nelson getting taken down, Charlie. Getting pushed another part of, being placed another part of town.
Mr. Ellis,
yes.
I don't mind foolish because certain people, there'd be like certain trees, they don't know it rotting at the bottom of the root. You don't know when the tree falls down. You know it rotting from the roots, then the tree suddenly fall. So I really don't discuss certain people and certain things. What I'm saying is this, Mr. Ellis. What I don't understand is this. The Democrat Labour Party have a lady called Ms. DePisa as the leader of the party. The Barbados Labour Party have a leader by the name of Ms. McConnell. You know, nobody want to talk about her. And I don't, it is how about me, how come that Ms. DePisa and nobody want to talk about the other leader of the other party? And let me
because most people don't see Ms. McConnell as the leader of the Labour Party.
The Prime Minister of Barbados is
seen as the political leader of the Barbados Labour Party.
No matter who
is General Secretary, the same thing applies to Ms. DePisa in the Democratic Labour Party. It does not matter who is General Secretary. She is seen as the political leader, the president and effectively the political leader of the party. So I don't understand why you're trying to come and confuse people with the role of General Secretary.
Listen a minute, Mr. Ellis. Because I noticed that the program now is that the moderator is to do most of the talking. Mr. Ellis, if there's people like you is to inform people that they will be misled. If the people of Barbados knew that Honorable Mayor Amor Motley is not the leader of the Barbados Labour Party, they won't believe it, because it will be said on the way to inform people that she's not the leader of the Barbados Labour Party. And they will also know that Mr. Pisa is only president for a year. She now win it again, so she'll be president again till next year, August or September. It's nothing. The leader of the party.
Is she the leader of the party?
Of course. But what I'm saying is,
on what basis have you concluded that she isn't the lady, Miss McConney, isn't she general secretary, chairman of the party?
Because they don't call the leader president. In the Democrat, they call it president. In the Barbados Labour Party, they call it chairman. The Barbados Labour Party is different. You cannot head the party for more than 2 years. In the Democrat, as long as you are elected every year, you stay.
Well, the truth of the matter is this. Leadership is determined by who carries the clout, who carries the power in a party. In the Barbados Labour Party, Mia Motley is seen as the person who carries the clout. And therefore, in the eyes of most Barbadians, she would be seen as the leader of the party, notwithstanding your technicalities.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Let's go to 2004, at a particular conference the Democrat Labour Party had. I was in America, but I read your paper. Then your paper used to really publish things that, to me, you could hold on to. Who was the president of the Democrat Labour Party in 2004?
You tell me, because I don't remember. Offhand.
Who was the leader in 2004?
Tell me.
Man, Ms. Ellis, don't do that to me, man. People ain't going to take my word that they would take yours. So I ask you, who was
I said I can't remember, so plant the word in my head. If you want to repeat it so it will have credibility.
He didn't have the doctoring to his name yet. Clay Maskell, at that time, Dr. Clay Maskell, was the leader of the opposition in 2004. Right or wrong?
Right, and?
Who was the president?
I don't remember.
Who was the leader of the party?
Was it Bramford Tate? I can't remember.
You claim that you got short memories, or you really get a short memory?
I don't remember all these details about the political parties
did,
in that way.
I would have to do a little bit of research. Let me educate the people. When did David Thompson return to the Democrat Labour Party and fought for a position at the conference? What year? I was in America, you were there.
And I don't remember all them details, the specifics of when that happened.
I say that to let you know that at one time, Dr. Clay Maskell, I will put the doctor into it because he's doctoring now, but he didn't that time, was the opposition leader in the Democrat Labour Party, and he wasn't the leader. Thompson was the leader. But let me get to my main. Let me move on before you tell me I have sufficient.
Sorry, your time up already. Because you know you love to come here and control things. You really, let me tell you, I bet you ain't got that kind of control in your house. But you want to come here and rule the airwaves.
But listen to this. I might not have the control, but if you look back, I successful in whatever happened. Even if somebody was controlling me, everything will go fine. Let me get to it.
Do some research on you on that.
Research on it. Let me tell you this here. When last have you told Cheapside Market to do any business with Barbados number one market vendor?
Who's that? Who's Barbados number one?
You know Barbados number one market vendor? Okay, let me help you again. There's a nice gentleman that we call market vendor. I call him Barbados number one market vendor. He used to operate from Cheapside. I know he have moved to Calais Car Park. Dressed down in all white. And he shouted from his toppy voice. Beer politics. He ain't talking about cassava, potato, banana, Go over.
Between you and him, man. Now you got nothing to do with that.
Mr. Wagon, let me speak and get to my point, yeah?
But hurry up, because you've been on for quite a while now.
Not as long as that, gentleman. But let me tell you something. I don't know what is going on in Barbados with their personalities.
Oh, my goodness.
Besides one.
Here we go.
Nearly all of them, like the drinking once at a liquid. And like if all of them became to sit out to one long mahogany table and plan. I want you to listen to, God, you talk you like. I know who I'm speaking about was close to you. I would like you to start listening and hear how Barbados have become so one-sided. That all the people, who the people of Barbados, when they talk about fake news, the CNN, you want more fake news and apologists than what's going on in Barbados radio stations? It is shameful. And the thing about it is, after making certain statements, you have a big selfish laugh at the end. A joke that only he himself will understand.
Right.
You check it out. You
okay.
Have a good day.
You do too. You were on long today. Can't complain at all. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning or good afternoon, what time it is?
It's 11:40.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Good. I think we got to bring Samuels to ride one of them horses and somebody else, right? The thing about the SNC detachment can get some work, right? Because they got to bring some of these people, the houses and things, to go on foot, and they got to do some real foot ponging. Because this competition going to be tight. Don't matter, we might got four horses in the race, but two going to be out there.
If you're not in St. George North, what does this mean to you?
If I'm not St. George North.
If you don't, if you're not a voter in St. George North, as I am not, what does this campaign really mean to you and your life?
What it means to me?
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather come from in Bel Air.
And? So?
And the thing about him is, I am looking forward for somebody to win. I am picking out who from who, right? But let's look at reality, right? If you're going to have the lady running, she has to make up in her mind if she going to be, if she going to step down as general secretary or what, she can be general secretary and run for office too. That'd be conflict of interest.
Well, don't forget, the precedent is already set with that. We have had general secretaries of the Barbados Workers Union who held their posts as general secretary and also ran for parliament and sat in parliament. They didn't become ministers of government as general secretary. All right. There are other people who would have become ministers, but they did not hold the post of general secretary. So there is nothing based on that precedent. There are others who are going to say to you, but the only reason you're going to say that is because it's a BLP candidate now. But when Sir Frank Walcott and Sir Leroy Trotman held those positions, they all weren't saying that. That's what they can tell you.
And the next thing, too, you have to look at the issues in St. George. You got to look, see how much roads need fixing. But you can't do nothing about the unemployment situation, right, because of the COVID situation, right? That's impossible to deal with that right now, right? And dealing with the children, the poor, and that sort of thing, right? It can take a lot, right? And if you look at it in reality, you got to go for the person who got the finance, right? As it stands right now, although the cricketer might be popular and the lady might be popular too, who got the money? Auntie Mia. You understand? So therefore, when something won't fit, saying who they're going to go to in the Democratic Labour Party to do the things for the people in St. George, they got to be realistic. Because if I had to vote in St. George, you understand? Well,
you're going
to
vote on that basis,
things.
But you don't have to vote, so...
No, but
you still haven't...
Things.
Up to now, you haven't told me what it means to you, though. You, apart from the fact that you're... your father or grandfather came from St. George?
Man, the thing about her is, right, I know, right, I believe, and I think that my Aunt Mia should look for the weak boxes and work on those areas, right?
You got weak boxes up in St. George North? The BLP had weak boxes last
year? Let's face reality. Let's face reality. In every constituency, he's got a weak box. You understand? So if I was her, I would check out for those weak points. You understand? To see who voted and who didn't vote in the last election. Right? Good. And I would work on those areas. They got statistics there. Right? And mash it up and bring home the bacon. All you right. understand?
Good for you.
The thing about it is, it's not a matter of B or D. Right? But it's a matter of studying politics. Right? At university. And looking at the issues. Look at statistics.
What are the issues? But what are the issues? If you studied politics at the University of the West Indies, right? You should be able to tell us what the issues
are. I don't know exactly what are the social issues in St. George, right? But those are things that you got to look at, right? And you got to deal with it. Because the people are going to be looking at these things. How are we going to get these things resolved? And the people are going to vote along those lines. You understand?
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much. Don't brass tacks. It's 11:45.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Miss Alice, sir.
Hi.
Now, this is the first time I'll be calling this program, but I got two small issues you need to hear on this program. Now, I just work for the 360 group, which is NCC contract program. And I realized that when we first started out that We used to like get paid at the end of every 2 weeks, right? Because we just work every 2 weeks and get paid. Now, I realize now we're going back into this one week off now. Every week now, we're supposed to get paid that week. The Friday we done work, these people going over to the following week and paying us all down on Wednesday, Tuesdays. I want to know if you feel this thing is fair to us that work a whole week and it's not hard. For this program, and then at the end of the week, we got to wait the following week all down to Tuesday or Wednesday together.
One of you must have asked them, wait, it's happening this way. What did
because
they say?
Because we keep asking the foremen and different people, and nobody's
giving you an answer.
What are our answer to this problem? Anyhow,
usually when something like that happens, usually it signals that they may be having some cash flow problem. That's what it usually signals. But, you know, this is a country where the relationship between capital and labor is real poor. And in many instances, workers do not trust what the leadership of companies, what they're saying. And they will, if the person who's leading the company says, well, we have a cash flow problem, the response is man or mahi man. They're just ripping off the workers and trying to make as much money as possible. There's an automatic assumption that the person who is leading is being deceptive. I don't know what Barbados is going to do about it because it's
Monday, right?
A big problem.
So you're supposed to be actually following me on the Monday, and then now it's going in out to. We know on Tuesday now to slip out to Monday and go on into Tuesdays now.
I think somebody in the leadership of the company or the relevant department should be explaining to you all exactly what the problem is, because that kind of change can offset people. And this is the kind of poor relationship building that obtains in too many instances. So if you make a change like that, the workers are definitely going to want to find out so why, and because it can make a difference to their own payment schedule and stuff like that, you know. They got rent to pay and all of that. So
the whole issue, they don't know what we got to do with our money.
Yeah, but we can assume. I mean, anybody can assume that you got bills to pay and you got food to buy and that sort of thing. So You don't change the program without asking people to bear with you because you have a little bit of a problem here. You may not be able to go into all the details because the other side of that is that Sometimes the leadership is afraid to put too much information in the heads and hands of the people who work in the company because they feel the competitors might end up with it, or the wrong person will hear that this is what is happening. It will end up in the media, you know? So.
Yeah, but we really need an answer from this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
This ain't right. As far as it's concerned, this year ain't right to us.
The 360 program, this 360 program is run by the private sector, right? Or is this through the government?
By NCC.
Okay. Because, you know, there's another program that is run by the private sector along the highway and that sort of thing. So the NCC, in this instance, it is their responsibility to tell you all what is going on. They shouldn't leave you up in the air. But then they may be having some discussion as to, you know, the timing. They may be sitting down there waiting to get something corrected and hoping that it will come through. They may well be going through the process of trying to get approval from this person and that person. All of those things can be at work.
Okay, I understand, but I really need to tell us something about it.
I agree with you. I understand that point. I really do.
My next issue here is, like, you know, a couple of years back, I think it was about 2 years ago, when they came on national radio and they told the ex-convicts that they could go to the Attorney General and fill out a form and get the conviction expunged.
Yes.
Now, some of us went and fill out these forms, take them back in, and get a reply that we will never get the conviction expunged because right. We do more than 7 years in jail. What I'm saying now is that them basically telling us that every convict that comes to jail do more than 7 years, life actually done. Because if you can't get your conviction expunged, that means you can't get a proper job, you can't travel, you can't do certain things. So, Miss Motley merely need to look into this act that stating that if you do more than 7 years, you can't get your conviction expunged. Because that means you're making a person's life like extinct there, like done.
You've discussed this with ex-cons like yourself?
Yeah,
what are they saying?
And not for them to say they went and they get the same answer, but if they do more than 7 years, they can't get it expunged.
And what is their reaction to that?
The reaction is, I mean, they really need an answer from it because these guys are in one, get involved again in the system. They'll hear more than 12, 15 years, 20 years, and still got these things hanging over their head, and they can't get anything to do about it.
I didn't realize that the time limit of 7 years was
I thought them would more look at it and just think that watch how much time the person do here in society other than...
So to explain for people how, if you continue with this approach, it just holds you down. Where does it leave you in society? Where else would you want to go? What else would you want to be able to do?
Like, you know, you want to... get a proper job, you know, pay us and keep us, because you know, most of us ex-convicts don't have nobody behind us to support us, so we just want to, like...
So, give me an example of what you might consider to be a proper job.
Okay, all right. For instance, some of us even apply to get government jobs, but when you go to the minister's telling you, well, you know about your past and certain things can happen for you, just like that. You've got to get that idea clear off your system. So, as the minister is telling you, you've got to get it clear off your system. And then you go into the system to get it clear, and they're telling you you can't get it clear. What position it left us in?
I think there's a reasonable argument. And the question is, how many of you are there in that position?
Trust me, there's a good few. Because it's taught to enough of them daily. And they tell me to rent and fill out the form, and all I'm getting the same answer. If you do more than 7 years, you can't get it expunged. So basically, you can't travel, you can't get a job and carry a clean police civic character. I mean, you got your life there stagnating.
You know, I would like you to stay with me until after the news and stuff, you know? I want you to tell me about life after jail. Because, we don't often get people like you coming to share this experience. And this is something that many people run away from and they hide. So if you want to, you can stay with me and talk a little bit about this whole experience when we come back to continue this edition of Down to Brass Tacks.